You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
All right, here's my question for you. Do you ever feel overwhelmed, like you're super busy and you're getting a lot of things done, but you're not really moving the needle? It's kind of like when someone asks you at the end of the day, what did you do today? And you're thinking, well, I got a lot done, but not really sure what I actually accomplished. I think today's guest is going to help you with that. She helped me. Raluca Comănescu is what I would call a performance and results expert. She also says, and she's right, she's a productivity trainer. She's the creator of the Feathers.Inc. Navigator, the planner to break dreams down to next action. Wow, so you actually get to achieve your dreams. She's passionate about design, curious about experiences and emotions, and she's gone from a full-time job as an architect to unfolding her design agency and launching two products to give people more time. And Raluca and I had a fascinating conversation, and we dug deep into how to get clear about your goals, why you should never borrow other people's goals, and oh, by the way, we're doing it way more than we think, and my favorite part, how to clean your mind of toxic thoughts. And you know, I wanted to talk to her because I think having clarity and getting rid of all that mental baggage is the key to having more room to innovate, and we discussed that as well. So go grab a notebook, get your pen, get ready for this one. All right, this is going to be great. I'm so excited for this conversation. Raluca, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with your definition of productivity, because it is truly one of those words that I hear so many people use, but everybody defines it a little bit differently. So where are you coming from?
Yeah, so basically productivity is this kind of word that makes people stuck, basically. And I've seen that to a lot of people. I do, however, think productivity is our biggest A2. And what I think is productivity is a mindset, and it's not a mindset of getting things done. It's actually the mindset of creating the desired reality, and have that in mind whenever you're choosing your next action.
So talk to me a little bit about, because I'm intrigued by this difference about it's not about getting things done, it's about creating this desired reality. Why is getting things done the wrong way to look at it?
Because whenever someone tells me, oh, I have to do so many things today in order to be productive, and I ask them, well, what are those things you're going to do? And they make these huge lists of things that are not really that important. That's when I come and say, well, you know, you don't have to do all those things, or you don't have to have these things done. What you really, really have to do is to get clear where you want to go and then find that one best action to follow. So instead of completing a huge list of tasks, why not finding the right one, the hard part one, and do that one instead?
So you probably would have laughed at my to-do list yesterday, because I think I probably just listed all the things on it. But I'm curious, you know, I'm wondering what makes us do that. Is because we don't know what the right things are? Is it because we don't know where we're going? What do you find is the reason we're making these ridiculous to-do lists?
Well, actually, I don't find them ridiculous. They just help us clean our brain. It's like brainstorming on paper. And we cannot keep in mind so many information, right? So let's just have a bit of sensitive emotions toward our brains and don't keep everything inside. And that's why you make lists. But the thing is, after you make lists, what happens? And after you make lists, you decide which direction to follow. So I do think making a list is good, but that doesn't mean you're going to get productive by making lists. You're going to get productive by clearing all your mind and all your brain and then choosing what's next.
Ah, so make the list, dump everything out of your head, but then decide the right things that are going to move you forward.
Yes, exactly. And it's good because in that list, so you're doing this two pages list, let's say, and in there you will find out if you're going to review the list, you will find out that some of the tasks are not really useful or are not really that important. And some of the actions are really something that someone else has recommended for you to do, or some sort of outside influences that made you create tasks and put them on the list. But they're not, they might not be important. They might not be yours even.
Will you tell me a little bit more about that? Give me an example of what would be something that I might put on my list. Like, I get it if I work in a company and I have a boss who tells me, right, like, you need to do this. Or, but if I'm an entrepreneur or stay at home, you know, whatever, can you give us an example of those type of things that creep in? Because I suspect that there's more of them on our list than we realize.
So I could think of, let me just think, let's say I want to do some touristic tours. And I have a list with all those things I have to do in order to create the tours and launch them. And in that list, let's say I have a lot of things like creating a social media page, creating a landing page, creating a brief, creating, I don't know.
Yeah, those are good.
Let me think what else. Creating this, all the social media channels, and focus on building your email list and so on and so forth. Because those kind of things are something you have heard from outside, from other entrepreneurs that are doing the same thing. And you think this is what you have to do as well. But the thing is, in this case, for example, if you want to sell tourists tours, one way to do it is to just pick up the phone and connect with a tourist agency, tell them about your tour and pitch them your tour and sell the tour. So with just one phone call. However, because you've heard from outside that you have to have a landing page, you have to have a social media profile and so on and so forth, you actually spend time on those things instead of spending time on the hard part, which is get the phone, sell the product, things done, closed.
Got it. It's so interesting. We do, you know, you hear, I think as an entrepreneur in particular, all the things that work for other people, and then they do Facebook ads about how you can learn how to do it too. And then you get sucked into all these things.
Exactly.
And you spend a lot of time.
Exactly. And a lot of money and resources.
Yeah.
Because I was just coaching a client just 3 weeks ago, and I was asking her how she's spending the money. And one of the things on her list was creating Facebook ads. And I was asking her, why are you creating those ads in the first place? Well, I don't know, but everyone does it.
And everybody's telling me about how successful it is. So I'm like, well, I guess I should try to make it successful too. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's so true. So
exactly. Or I had cases when people are buying things or products just because everyone else's are doing this and because they're expecting huge success after they buy the product. But nothing happens if you don't know why you're buying it and you don't know how to use it.
Right.
Something like that.
So launch readers out there listening, I love this idea of looking at your to-do list and not just thinking about what are the things you really don't need to do, but also what are the things that creeped on there that are really on other people's to-do lists, not yours, and to hone it in. So in order to figure out how to do that, let's talk a little bit about goals. And you talk about goals as a navigational roadmap. Talk more about that.
Well, yes. What is a navigational roadmap is just your friendly plan to get from point A to point B, right?
Yep.
And this can be pretty much used not only in the working or career field, but this can also be used in your personal one. So let's say that I'm going to give an example here. If I want to, next year it's going to be an event here in Bucharest, and Seth Godin is going to be here in during the event. And I was wondering, how can I create, how can I spend 15 minutes with Seth Godin next year and talk about various things? So how can I do that? I'm going to create a navigational roadmap and decide clear goals to reach in order to complete this. And I could just sit from on my desk and say, oh, I'm waiting for it to happen, and it's not going to happen. Or I'm going to just put on paper some ideas on how, or some milestones and goals on how to get there and actually give myself a chance to make it happen. And these goals can be something like, okay, I need to connect with the organization company and see if I can convince them to introduce me to Seth Godin. Or I want to connect with 100 people, and maybe from those 100 people, one of them might get me introduced in that event and get to know Seth Godin, and so on and so forth. So somehow the goals are actually ideas with numbers. Like, I have this idea and I put a number to that idea so I can track it on the way. And after I complete it, I just say, did this goal take me to where I want? Yes, no. Do I like to do that? Yes, no, and so on and so forth. And the bottom line is 12 months later, when I have all my goals completed, I could say, yes, I have reached my destination. Mm-hmm. Or I could say, yes, I reached my destination, but I do not really like it. So you go back and say, maybe this destination of yours is not really yours, but it is a dream. It is a borrowed dream rather than yours. So yeah, you've used your goals to reach to a borrowed dream instead.
Tell me a little bit about that. So why is it important to not borrow somebody else's goals?
Well, first of all, when you borrow someone else's goals, you actually stop living your life. And you give yourself 100% chances of failure and procrastination and not feeling happy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just curious with that. Do you think that sometimes, a little bit like the to-do list, right? Like sometimes, and this is just, you know, me being honest with myself and everybody who's listening, you know, sometimes I look at the cover of Fast Company or, you know, one of these other entrepreneur magazines, and I start to go, oh, I want that, right? Whatever that they've done or they've created or the way it's happened for them is how it should happen for me. So therefore, that becomes my goal. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. You might resonate with some things from other companies, and you might say, "Oh, that's my, I want that as well." And you can. It's best to just take a moment, keep quiet, and really ask yourself, "Is this really what I want?" And if I want that, what exactly do I want? Because behind every goal, there is actually an emotion you feel. And you better ask yourself, okay, if I would be there, if I would get there and have that thing, how would I feel? And then ask yourself, okay, if that's how I'm going to feel, what I can do today or what I can do in the next 12 months so I can experience those feelings. And chances are that you might actually going to sign up for different outcomes rather than the one you have previously chosen and still experience the emotions you're after.
So will you give me the example? So I want to go back to your Seth Godin example, which I thought was so great, and I would love to meet him as well. You know, what kind of emotion would you attach to that? And then what do you do today to do what you're saying and get those emotions? Because I'm interested in this idea of connecting it. I'm guessing that if you attach an emotion to a goal, it becomes more like you feel it in your body versus just it's an idea on a piece of paper. So will you walk us through how that would look?
Yeah, it's basically I would feel a pride for meeting him, and I would feel like something really, really new is going to happen in my life. Mm. So something new. And I would feel like disrupting my routine just by meeting him. And if I were to think of other experiences that I could sign up for and get to those emotions, I might say that one of them is actually starting next month in September, and is start working with teens and create workshops for teens to help them understand their superpowers anyway. And this is something new for me as well. This is something I would feel very proud of. And this is how I get those emotions through different experiences.
I see that. Totally makes sense. So launch readers out there listening, just take a second, think about your goals. But as Raluca is saying, attach an emotion, a feeling to it. I think what you're going to find is that it becomes much more in your bones, integrated into kind of how you operate daily too, and then find those experiences that reinforce it. I think that's such a cool way to talk about it. I want to ask you about something that you've mentioned a couple times now, I was reading on your website, one of the things that really stood out to me was this idea of cleaning your mind. It really spoke to me. Just get it out, get all those toxic thoughts out there. So how does having all those toxic thoughts actually get in our way of, you know, being productive as you describe it and reaching our goals?
Yeah. So basically toxic thoughts are just keeping your brain busy, and they are keeping you busy. And as we know, that busy is pretty much, or as I trust, busy is being broke. And I really encourage everyone I work with to first, before we start planning, to first clean their mind and clean their brain. And that means actually two things. One of them is getting rid of the toxic reality, which means getting rid of those distractions that comes from outside, and good space in your brain. And then get rid of toxic limited beliefs. And those are the beliefs that hold you back. And because of those beliefs, you will not be open and you're not going to actually be brave and open to accept what you really are and what you really want to do and how the reality, your desired reality, will actually be.
Can you share with us a way to do that? Because I don't know if you found this too, or maybe with your clients. Sometimes I feel like those thoughts are nagging and I don't even quite have a hold of them. They're just there. And so how do you clean your mind? How do you pull them to the surface and then get rid of them?
Yeah, there is very, very simple way to do that. And I've created a worksheet even for this process. You just take a piece of paper, or maybe even more, you can take three pieces of paper and start writing down. And you start writing down all those toxic thoughts about you, about others, about your work, about your skills, about love, all your toxic thoughts about money, let's say, because important in
so much baggage around money
as well.
Yeah.
Yes. and you make this list, but you make this long list of toxic thoughts and put them on paper and then just burn them.
Like actually
burn
them.
The thing is, you really actually burn them, but you really have to take like at least 1 hour of silence or a silent time when you just you and yourself thinking, what is it? What are the toxic thoughts? Put them on paper and then just burn them.
I'm going to try that. I've never tried. I mean, I've written stuff down before, but I don't know I've ever physically done something with them. And I've got to imagine that that actually just helps you get rid of them, actually release them.
You're going to feel relief after that. And you're going to actually feel like it's a new start. And you're going to be ready to embrace a new direction. And I know I did that like a few times. You don't really do this like that often. You do it a couple of times a year. And I remember that last year I did it and I kind of get rid of a lot of my projects.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. It's not because the projects were bad or because the clients were toxic. I was having very good clients and very good, but they did not serve my journey anymore. So I put them on paper and I decided to close them and I did and start fresh.
Well, I think there's a couple things you said that are in there that are so important for launch readers listening. And one is, you know, you with your clients, sometimes what serves you one day, you know, later on down the journey is not what serves you. And you have to honor that and know that, you know, they serve their time, their point and place, and then it's time to move on. And the other thing you said, if I heard you right, is that you do this a couple times. This isn't something that you do once. It's like cleaning. You don't clean your house once.
Yes.
And then never clean it again. I wish that was the case. But your mind is the same way. And, you know, Luke, I'm wondering, when people do this, do you find that their ability to be creative, innovative, head in that new direction, that all new mind space opens up for that they didn't have before?
Yes, definitely. They make space. They make so much space for creativity and innovation. And also there's so much space for positive emotions and also space for new relationships. So yes, it's very, because otherwise, instead of focusing on shaping your own reality, your own new, fresh, desired reality, you're actually playing reality's game instead, and you don't want that.
So tell me, what is reality's game? What do you mean by that?
I mean that paying attention to everything that comes your way, like all those emails you're receiving every single hour or day, all those messages on your phone, all those notifications, then what happens, all the comments on social media, all the requests from your teams and all your requests from your clients. If you're coming in the morning and sit on your desk and see what's waiting for you, in front of you, you're going to get so much overwhelmed, because that's the reality asking you to pay attention to everything and solve them. But instead, if you just mute the reality and start with what matters to you first, then reality, it's not going to make you play its game. You're actually going to shape reality into your game.
Oh, I'm doing jazz hands. I love that idea so much. And I just, you'll appreciate this. I had my iPhone and I turned off all the notifications, which I loved. And then somehow it didn't upgrade and all the notifications came back on. And what I found was I was a lot more stressed out and less productive. And it wasn't about what the notifications even said. They were mostly insignificant. But the fact that the reality, as you were saying, was constantly in my face, distracting me from what I was trying to accomplish, I found surprisingly frustrating. And yes. Like it's a little thing, but that kind of what you're saying can make all the difference in how your day goes and how your life goes.
So it's really life changing. I have quit Facebook like I think 2 months ago, and I decided that I'm no longer going to feed the addiction for Facebook and just take control of my own life and start fresh. And since that moment, I actually, every single day, apart from the part that I was very, very relaxed and peaceful, every single day, apart from that, I could, or I had the power that every single day to decide what I want to do and not to accept what from outside, what others want me to do. And it felt like such a relief. I have a lot of questions, a lot of discussions with friends about this, about using Facebook. And I always tell them, actually, it's just don't let Facebook or don't let reality serve information, because the reality doesn't give you the right information. Just choose what information to search for and then search for it, if it makes sense.
It totally makes sense. We have so much more to go through, but if just in this halfway point here, if nothing else, or more than halfway, if nothing else, if you take away, like, don't let reality dictate not only how you see the world, but how what you decide to do with your own world.
Yes.
I think you get a lot out of this interview, because that is really a powerful thing. And those little things like turning off your notifications or choosing to really determine what goes on your to-do list and your goals may seem small,
yes,
but I know for a fact they add up. I've experienced it. So I appreciate your perspective on that. You know, you wrote something, I can't remember if this was an article or a blog or where I read it, to be honest, but I loved it, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about it. And what you said was, or wrote was, be bold for 30 seconds and selfish for a few hours. What is that?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, in order to have a huge progress, you don't actually have to work for hours. And this really connects with finding the hard part of your business and actually do that. And in order to do the hard part of your business, you really have to be a bit brave. And what does it mean? Is like jumping out of a plane, and you really need like a few seconds to be brave and jump out of the plane. But then you're going to enjoy all your path until you reach the ground, right? And you don't have to be scared anymore, because you've already done it. And just in business, it's like just pick up the phone and ask for I don't know, a connection, or ask for an interview, or ask for what you need. And it only takes you a few seconds to pick up the phone. Just shut your brain, pick up the phone, do the call. And then the moment you start doing the call, it's going to be so much easier. So be brave for 30 seconds. But what I encourage people is that it's not really enough to be bold and have a progress. It's also very important for you to give yourself some retreats after that, like give yourself some me time, or give yourself something in return. Just take care of yourself as well. Just don't be brave and that's it. Also take care of your soul and yourself.
So I have to tell you that after reading this, I decided I was going to try it and put it into action. And a couple of days ago, I needed to make a phone call to a client to make a pretty big ask for sale for them to buy from me. And, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you lose a little bit of sleep the night before. I've got my script out. And, like, people always think, oh, Tamara, you're so brave. You do it all the time. I'm like, yeah, but I got to work my way up to it. But I thought to myself that morning, I was like, all right, Tamara, all you have to do is be really bold and really brave for like a 2-minute phone call. 2 minutes. That's it. And then you can go on with the rest of your day. And that made it so much easier for me to pick up the phone. And then I did exactly what you said, is I rewarded myself after. I was like, and then I get to go walk the dog, which for me is, I love it when I have time to walk the dog, because I don't often get that. It's just, you know, it's a little nice kind of jaunt to my day. But the idea of No, Tamara, this is just one phone call. I don't have to be brave all day. God, that's stressful.
No, we don't.
Oh my goodness. Like the relief that I felt of like, it's 2 minutes and done. Just wow.
Exactly. You've put boundaries.
Yeah. So I would encourage those listening out there to think about it. How can you be bold for 30 seconds every day? That's it. 30 seconds. And then be selfish for a few hours. So I love that that's why I wanted to ask you about that because I tried it. So the other thing I wanted to make sure to talk to you about was your Navigator tool. And it's funny because, you know, when we picked up the Skype call, I'd said I tried it, that you were, it's not really a journal. It's not really a to-do list, like a combination of a lot of things. But you had sent it to me ahead of time. So I put it into action for a week to see.
Oh,
so I wanted to share my experience with you and then have you talk a little bit about the tool. So it is, you know, it looks like a little, you know, to-do folder slash, you know, productivity tool slash journal, just for those of you visual. And we'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can see it and hopefully buy it as well. But here's what I found kind of interesting and different about it for me. You know, you have a lot of setting of intentions through it as well. So it's not just, here's my to-do list, but what's the intention I have going into the week, going into the day? And interestingly, I found that doing that first made me smarter about my to-do list. So I dumped everything the way you talk about, but then I went back and I highlighted what matched my intention versus just was something I had to do. And I found myself to be way more productive in the way that you describe it, like kind of doing the right things. And there's a lot of goal setting in there too, but it's continual, right? You've got your longer goals, your kind of shorter goals. And kind of constantly having that, not just front and center, but having to do it, made me really think more strategically about what I did every day. And the other part that I found fascinating was you've got that thing for unplanned tasks, like things that come up that you need to. So I don't know if this is true for other people, but what I discovered was, holy shit, I end up with a way more stuff in my unplanned tasks that I shouldn't be even getting to or be notified about in any given day that I am. And I started to go on this real effort with my team to say, don't come to me with this until, you know, we have our team meeting, unless it's urgent. Don't come to me with this, because suddenly I ended up with all these 1 minute to-dos on my list. It ends up taking hours, right? We always say, we'll just do it if it's fast. But there's so many of those things. And I didn't realize how much of my day was being sucked into that until I had to write them down. So that was my experience with it. So let me just back up for people and have you answer kind of what are you hoping people get out of the tool? Kind of how does it work? Let's start there.
So basically, I want people to feel less overwhelmed whenever it comes to planning and to see that there is a friendlier system out there that they can actually use. And their planning shouldn't be that rigid as people think it should. And also, the way I would hope they will use the Navigator is to actually start with their dreams and then split that to action step by step. And of course, manifesting their intentions and see whether reach and also creating the outcomes they want to reach. And one of the main, I think one of the main ideas about the Navigator is that it's really not about reaching your outcome. It's more about how do you feel about reaching the outcome? What did you do about that? How did you do it? And is this really your outcome? Is this really your dream? And if it's not, you might better find out in a month than wasting 12 months to find out that you don't like what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I think what I really appreciated about the Navigator, and it's just for listeners out there, it was funny because when we first started talking, I couldn't figure out how to describe it. And you said, that's why I call it the Navigator, because it's a little bit of all those things. You know, matching up my dreams, what I was trying to accomplish with my to-dos, is something you don't often get. You often get dream journals or you get task lists. And it disconnects you, I think, from what you're trying to accomplish in your life, whether that's your job, your personal life, relationships, work, dream, you know, whatever it is. And it was interesting to see it all come together in one place in a way that forced me to be more intentional in my day-to-day as well. And I, you know, you've mentioned a few times, like, not taking on other people's dreams. I would have to imagine, right, with some of your clients, they've found out in, you know, going day by day that, wait a minute, it's not the tasks that are wrong. It's actually the dream is wrong.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And they usually understand that in, I don't know, 2 or 3 or even 4 weeks after we start working together, and then they shift direction. But the thing is about that is we start with the dream. The navigator starts with the dream and then connects the dream to the actual actions, as you said. And I've done that because we don't actually do this naturally.
Yeah.
Like we say, oh, it's very common to say, oh, I want to have a great business, or I want to meet this kind of people. Okay, but how are you going to actually put this in action? And that's where the gap is. People don't know how to put a dream into action. And the navigator gets you to manifesting the kind of experiences and emotions you really want to sign up for. So it's not yet about real and rigid plans here. It's about the experiences and emotions you want to sign up for. It's about deciding what kind of people you want to meet and also what kind of places you want to see. And after you know these things, you start manifesting, you start creating your manifesto, and you start deciding what you want and what actions, what projects would you like to approach. But these are also not something like, I'm not going to create my manifesto, or I'm not going to decide what projects I want to approach next. And I'm also going to decide how I'm going to approach it. This is not the time. You don't know, you don't have to know how you're going to approach those projects or those actions. But the next steps in the navigator is actually prompt you to think about, okay, what would that be? What would that project be? What kind of milestones are you seeing? Because you might not know all the milestones right from the front,
right,
from up front. And then what kind of actions would you see coming? But then those actions, would they be in your, would they split in actions for family, actions for career, for money, for health? What kind of actions are you going to embrace? And then move step by step until you find out what you're going to do this month, what you're going to do this week. And then whenever the day starts, you look back and say, okay, what's the goal for the week? This one. What can I do today? This thing. And that's it.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful. And for people out there listening, you know, our community is a bunch of innovators. We're people trying to shake things up a little bit, and or a lot, actually, in a lot of cases. And, you know, I think what's really cool about what Raluca is saying and what this tool does in particular is, you know, I think we as innovators, sometimes our dreams are a little bit fuzzy when we start out, but we're supposed to have them totally nailed down, know exactly what we want, never change. Like, that's my vision. I'm a visionary because I'm innovative. But that's often not the case. And then we start to feel like a failure because we're not matching what we think our goal is, what our vision is. And what your tool, I think, helps people like us who are in that innovative mindset do is get that goal down, connect it to actions, as you're saying, because I agree with you. That's the part where most of us drop the ball, is we come up with some dream and then we don't know how to implement it. But also gives us the knowledge and the permission to refine that goal as we go. Because if I heard you right, you don't always get it right the first time, and that's okay.
You never, most of the time you don't get right for the first time, but that's the beauty of doing things.
Yeah.
Not getting right the first time gives you the chance to find out so many other options you have, about so many other ideas you can implement. So it's good. It's very good not having this done right the first time and being open to adjust it on the way. Just start with a clear idea, then make an action, test, see results, adjust, do another action, and so on and so forth.
Well, I love that, because really what you're describing is how I talk about innovation overall. Like, if you want to try out a new idea, product, service, right, you put an idea down, you test it, you tweak it, You test it, you tweak it. Like, that is the process of being innovative. And you're saying, let's be innovative about your life and what you're trying to do with
it. Yes, I did. I was involved in a project that did not do that like 2 years, 3 years ago. And after 2 years of work, it failed. And after I decided to launch the Navigator, I did just that. I actually started with a basic planner, but I started with the idea, started searching for feedback, tested, improved. And basically what it is today, what the Navigator is today, is the result of so many tests and closer connection with the users of the Navigator. And I've never actually, when I started, I never thought the Navigator is going to look like that. But it is, because that's how people has created the Navigator. So it's pretty, it's not really me who has created it. It's the people who are using it.
That's right. That is 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the best innovation happens when you include your customer in the journey. We're so afraid that if it's not perfect, they're going to hate it and walk away. But they're actually, I found, and I think you found in this experience, that the your community, your customers, are quite willing to go along the journey with you if you they understand that's what's happening.
Definitely. Oh my God. And they're so happy and supportive.
Yeah.
When they start, this is their work. So they are so proud. And I keep receiving emails from people saying, hey, I'm still using Navigator. I'm so in love with the Navigator, and so on and so forth. And they come up with ideas. And now I've tested, and I'm testing the Navigator for teens. Mm-hmm. They came up and tell me that, oh, I have a daughter. She might want to test the Navigator for teens, and so on. And yes, people are the best secret sauce behind any project.
Oh my gosh, you speak the truth. They are the secret sauce. I love the way you said that. And I just have to give you a little bit of credit on something else too. You did something very smart, I think, as an entrepreneur or innovator of any kind need to consider. You sent me the product to test out before we talked. And I will test out anything that people send to me, so I'm warning you. I will. If you send it to me, I'm trying it out. But you would be surprised at how many people with new ideas or new products are too afraid. They want to talk about it in theory. So they're too afraid to get it out there because, you know, I could call your baby ugly too, right? That's the fear and that's the concern. But to be able to put your product in people's hands who you want to talk about it, to have them
experience. So scary.
Yeah, it's so scary and so important. And you did it. So I got to give you credit. It's one of the reasons why I was excited for this call. I was like, look at her. She actually sent it to me. So many people are like, go to the website and look at it.
Yeah, I know. The first time when I launched the first prototype, I was so scared to ship those planners.
I bet.
Oh my God, I said, I'm not going to take care of this shipment. I'm going to outsource it. I mean, my partner took care of it. And I said, I'm just going to talk with people. And I took like 2 weeks to contact those persons. I was so afraid.
Yeah.
That afraid. But then again, I know that I cannot move forward without them. This is why the first business failed, because we were hiding for 2 years from people. And after 2 years, when we launched, we didn't have any momentum and people weren't involved, so they didn't care.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. My favorite and scariest thing to do when I'm launching, you know, a new revenue stream for us or a new product or service is to talk to customers way before I'm comfortable doing.
Definitely. Before even when you start with the idea, a lot of people think that, oh, I cannot share my idea because someone is going to steal that. Yeah. But that's so naive.
Yeah.
It's not easy to implement something. And plus, you have your own superpowers. No one is going to implement that idea as same as you are going to do it. And don't just hold yourself back thinking that. Go ahead and ask. At least make a board of advisors, like get 5 clients or 5 friends or some 5 people and ask them, hey, I have this idea. Would you like to test it? How would you like to test it? And so on and so forth. Then create a prototype. Then go again and find more feedback and then build the product, build the prototype, then improve the prototype. Then so there are so many steps that you can do that will actually prevent you from failing first, and then they will prevent you from spending too much time, money, and energy into a product that it's not going to actually solve any problems.
You know, it is one of my biggest frustration when I meet innovators, and they say, I'm working on an idea, and I'll say, what is it? And they say, well, I'm not ready to share. I can't share it yet, or I need you to sign an NDA. I'm like, look.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I have no interest in whatever it is you're doing. And second, if you keep up that attitude, you're never going to launch it anyway. So
exactly.
Yes. So I will get off my soapbox. That's a whole nother podcast conversation, but you can only benefit from sharing is the reality.
Exactly.
And, you know, when we hold it back, what's really holding it back isn't because someone's going to steal it or because there's something we need to do first. It's our fear getting in the way.
Exactly. It's our fear.
Yeah. And I love that. It's naive. It is naive to think that somebody else is going to do it right away. It takes a lot to launch something. So,
oh my God.
I love how you said that, naive. I never thought of it that way. It's so good. So I can't even believe we're out of time, but where can people go to buy The Navigator and to connect with you? And we'll put the links in the show notes.
So I would encourage people to ask me questions, and I have set up a website for that. It's askraluca.com, and in there they have also access to my navigator and access to my workshops, my future workshops as well. But first, whether you have a small question related to starting a business or about design or whatever holds you back, just drop me a message, ask me your question, and I will make sure to give you my answer that might save you from spending hours and hours of work, a lot of energy, and a lot of money, when in fact you might have an option that will get you directly to your desired results.
That's great. I love that your website is a communication tool, not a one-way. That's really cool that you set it up that way. So my last question for you is, what's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you? A hobby, a passion, experience?
Oh, there is something. And we talked about planning and about rigid planning, but the thing, and the fact that I'm not doing rigid plans, but the thing is I actually did have two rigid plans in my life. And both of them have failed. And one of them was like years ago, 12, 13, I don't even remember, years ago, I wanted to go to architectural school. And I was so convinced, like, it's going to happen. There's no way it's not going to happen. And I was so convinced, and that was sure my what I wanted to do, and actually it didn't happen. And I wasn't accepted to that school. And the second one was a personal matter. A few years ago, we decided that we want to have kids. And I was like, yeah, sure. It's going to be so much easier. It's going to be just next month.
Yeah, and, right.
Well, surprise, it actually didn't happen. Mm. And those two things, I've planned them like it was the easiest thing possible. But the reality, it's not exactly how I planned it. So yeah, I did that. But years after, I actually asked myself, what are the emotions I wanted to feel attached to those plans? And the thing is, I am already experiencing those emotions, even though I did not go in those directions. Even though I did not go to architectural school, I went to a similar school, and I did architecture for 5 years after that anyway. So I kind of find my way to experience those emotions. And then when it comes to having kids, I don't have kids, but then again, I'm going to start creating workshops for teens, and that makes me feel happy and enjoy. I'm enjoying working with kids and teens as well.
Well, first of all, I just have to say thank you so much for sharing some things that didn't work out the way you planned. I think it is so important that we recognize those things in our lives and learn from them, and that, you know, you ended up in moving away from being rigid about those things that you thought you wanted, finding similar emotions in yes. other things. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, it's so much easier, and it's so much, you are really going to find so many other options that are going to bring you the same joy or emotions.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if this is exactly right, so tell me if I'm off base here. It's kind of like attaching yourself to what emotion you want versus the material outcome. I think maybe
exactly.
that's the mistake I make sometimes.
Exactly.
Well, Raluca, thank you so much. It was an eye-opening interview for me, and I know it will be for other launch readers as well. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for the invitation, and I really enjoyed that.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.